being here today. You'll have a timer that I'm going to start right now for 20 minutes, and you'll see it at the top of the screen. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ryo, for having me. It's always a privilege to be able to be of service in CEA HAL. And my job today is to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And what it was like was that I turned to food as my friend, substitute boyfriend, my confidant, and just an escape. And it all started as a little girl. I grew up in a home that was multi-generational, and my grandmother was the main cook. And my grandmother cooked, and with the capital C. And early on, I found myself always at the kitchen table, the first person there, the last person to leave. And then sometimes I would come back in the evening after dinner. And my grandmother knew that when I sat down, that was her cue to get something for me to eat. And so I remember my auntie, I don't know if she was jealous. I really think she's one of us, but she was saying to my grandmother, "Don't feed her. She's not hungry." And my grandmother would say, "Feed the baby." And so I think my grandmother might have been a little codependent, but she would feed me and I would feel good. I just knew that when I ate that food, I was happy. I grew up in a home where there was alcoholism. There were verbal fights, a lot of dysfunction going on. I mean, a lot. But that breakfast, lunch, and dinner was one place I knew I could count on and be at peace. And so that continued being an avenue for me the rest of my life, really. I was always smart in school. That was another way for me to be able to get my mother's approval, because what I've come to find out is that I really craved validation. And so that was one way I could get my mother's approval, is with school and being smart. In fact, my whole family would brag, "Oh, Stephanie's so smart, Stephanie's so smart." And that felt so good, because then I started thinking, well, I'm responsible for my mom's happiness. I can make her happy by being smart. And that's a lot of pressure on a child. And you may say, "Well, what does that have to do with food?" A lot. Because the energy that I got to keep doing all the people pleasing, it came from all the excess food that I was eating. But of course, I didn't know that. So I went on through life, eating through life, and I was always smart, like I said. I was involved in extracurricular activities so I could be away from home. And then once I got to middle school, I discovered something else, boys. And I tell you, that was a whole nother world. But one thing that discouraged me when it came to them is that I was pudgy. And a lot of the boys, they didn't like pudgy girls. By the time I went got to middle school, thank goodness I had kind of gotten taller, so that pudginess was by then, and I started having a lot of fun with the boys and loved the attention. I mean, I said I loved the external validation, loved it. Still doing good in school. Life was a lot better. Home was still home. But I had found boys, school, extracurricular activities. I was still eating, but because I was active and going through being a teenager, I was shapely. I was no longer considered pudgy. And I loved it. I was popular. It was great. Until I got to be a senior. Once I was a senior, I became a teen mom and I had my daughter. And that was it. Because in my family, once you have a child, college is off the table. Anything else that you want to do is off the table. You had the child, you take care of it. That's it. So I had my little girl, and I was just so sad because, I had these dreams of going to college and being the first person in my family to go. And it didn't happen like that. You could just see the disappointment in my family's faces. So what did I do? I turned to my first friend, food, and I started gaining weight. And at my highest, I'm 5'4", and I was 194 pounds. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have any pictures of me at that weight because I didn't even look at the mirror when I was that weight. If I did, it was from the neck up. I wouldn't look at a full length mirror. My mom did allow me to go to nursing school to be a RN. And I was like, okay, mom, thanks. I went to nursing school, but it wasn't because I wanted to care for people. It's just that I heard they make a lot of money. And see, that's another one of my diseases. Money, materialism, status. That was and is a profession that was really looked up to, especially by my family. So since I didn't have the right motives, I didn't stick with it. Especially since I realized that you actually have to care for the sick people, and I didn't want to be around sick people. So that career choice was gone pretty was over pretty quickly. So I left from nursing school, and I went to beauty school to learn how to be a hairdresser. Now, I wasn't really good with doing hair, but I loved the lifestyle because I knew hairdressers. Actually, I partied with them because by then, not only was I into food, but food has some cousins, and that's why we got other fellowships. So I was partying with the hairdressers, traveling. Now, yes, I still got a child that I'm really just having my mom take care of because I'm too busy having fun. In another world, fantasy. When I compulsively ate, I could fantasize about who I wanted to be, what I wanted to be, what was happening in my life, and just really be out of touch with reality. So eventually that lifestyle short-circuited because, like I said, I had gotten to food's cousins and came crashing down. So at the age of 29, by the grace of God, I went to the Mother Fellowship and got sober. Thank God. Thank God. So I put the cousins down, but I was still eating. But this is truly a spiritual program, and this is truly a disease that affects your spirit. Because even though I was still compulsively overeating, when I got sober, 30 pounds came off without me even trying. So that just told me then that I'm eating emotionally, spiritually. And the results you could see them physically. I was still overweight, but I wasn't in the 190s anymore. I think I was like about, well, actually 20 pounds because I was like 170. And you couldn't tell me I wasn't cute. Now I'm 5'4", 170. Okay. So anyway, I'm getting married, divorced, getting married again, divorced. Because I'm sober, but I'm not emotionally sober. I'm still eating. I have found that with compulsive eating, when I am still compulsively eating, I'm not really here. I'm not present. I'm still in an addiction. But because compulsive overeating is really acceptable in my family, a lot of folks in my family are overweight. Nobody really said anything. So I'm going on, going on. I'm sober, da da da. I'm raising my daughter. And so about now, Brittany is about maybe 15, something like that. And I'm starting to feel bad and be tired all the time. And I think I was in my 40s by then, early 40s. And went to the doctor. And the doctor said, "You are obese." I almost looked around the room. What? He said, "If you keep on eating," and I had never had a doctor talk to me like that, but I needed that. "If you keep on eating the way you're eating, if you don't lose this weight, because high blood pressure runs on both sides of your family, you're gonna have a stroke." And that got my attention real quick. So I said, "Okay, maybe I need to go to a 12-step program for food." Duh. So I did. I went to a 12, and it wasn't CHOW, it was another one. And I was able to release the weight, but I still wasn't convinced that that this is a disease. And that's the amazing thing. I had been in AA for years by at that point, and I knew by me surrendering was the only way I was able to get sober. Why that did not translate or transfer over to CHOW, I have no idea. I did not want to surrender that food. I did temporarily so I could get the weight off, get my health back. But I was not thoroughly convinced that I was a food addict, a compulsive eater. I said I was, but my actions by leaving the fellowship after I had been physically abstinent, and I did the steps and all that in that program. But eventually I left and said, "Well, I'm good. I've got the food plan. I can go on about my business." Now, I didn't gain the weight back, not all of it, but I did gain some. But what I noticed was I started eating and couldn't stop. And it scared me. I would tell myself, that's when I know I'm trying to control something. I'll say, "Okay, well, I'm just going to just eat a little bit. I'm just going to slice off a little, and then I'm going to put it up." And next thing I know, I'm in the kitchen before I even realized what was going on. And it talks about it in the big book, that we cannot bring with sufficient force into our memory the misery and the suffering. Even just a week ago, I would forget about how miserable and sad I was when I was compulsive eating, especially certain foods, because I knew they weren't any good for me. And I would hear the doctor's words in my head. Yeah, I just couldn't stop eating, and it scared me. So this is how God works. I'm getting into the recovery part of it now. I have a buddy here in Atlanta, and I'm on the board of a recovery clubhouse, and she wanted to start a CHOW meet. So she said, "Stephanie, could you help me?" I said, "Oh yeah, we got time, we've got space. You can, come start the meeting. In fact, I'll help you." Now, I wasn't gonna be a member or nothing. I just, I'm gonna help her start the meeting. So we started the meeting, and it's going good. So then, since I'm sitting there and I'm coming to the meetings, I said, "Well, I guess I might as well join." Now I needed it. I said, "I guess I'll join." So then I asked her to sponsor me, and weight start coming off. I was feeling good. When I really take this program seriously, how the peace comes, things start straightening out in other areas of your life, and I felt good. And then I told one day she called me, and I said, "I don't want to do this anymore. So, if you need any other help with the meeting, just call me." And I left. The meeting went on. I turned 60 last year, and I looked in the mirror and I said, "You know what? I do not want to fight with food no more. I am tired. I was tired in my soul. I really felt it. And I went back to the meeting I helped start. And I said, I asked someone there to sponsor me. And that was January 2nd, 2025. And I've had back-to-back absence since then. Because I get it. I get it. This is a spiritual, mental, and physical disease, especially spiritual. And it's not about the food. It never was about the food. It was about what was going on in me that I turned to an inanimate object to comfort me, to guide me. Today, I mean, basically was my God. Today, I have another God. I have a higher power today that I turn to for comfort and guidance. And my life is so peaceful. No matter what is thrown at me, I am able to deal with it. My relationships are a lot more peaceful. I don't react with silent scorn anymore because I was one, some people react with, ah. I would react with, anything wrong, Stephanie? No, I don't do that anymore. I'm honest with myself and I'm honest with others. And that's really great for me because that was the piece that was really missing in my life was the honesty. And it's something about getting honest with the food, that commitment every day, the writing it down, eating the three meals with nothing in between, turning to God, these beautiful outreach calls, which are like mini meetings, and they truly are. Basically, doing everything that was suggested instead of me saying, oh, I don't need to do all that. I know the big book. I'm so arrogant. Yeah. So what? Yeah, I do the big book. But was I applying it in all my affairs? No, I wasn't. Being abstinent and being in this program has really made me come face to face with myself. I no longer have that cover of food. I learned how to pause. I instead of re not just instead of reacting, but just let me get back to you or let me think about that. I don't have to know everything. I used to think I had to know everything, and I felt like it was, and if I didn't, I would fake it. I used to think that it was a sign of weakness or being stupid if you didn't know everything. And now I know, hey, nobody has to know everything. There's a lot more order in my life. I got thrown a curveball recently, financially. And I'm going to have to do some extra gig work to pay it. Instead of me going into a panic and I prayed about it and looked at my options. And I went and did what I'm doing what I have to do. I don't feel like a victim. It's just life, life on life terms. I used to, when things would happen to me, I said, well, even in recovery, why is this happening to me? Now I ask God, what is it that you want me to see? What are you showing me? What am I supposed to learn from this? Because I know today, anything I go through, it's not for me. It's so that I can share it at a meeting or share it on a call, or someone could be watching me to let them know I went through this and got through it, and you can too. The God I serve today is a whole lot stronger than the God of food. This God gives me comfort and peace, a sense of direction and purpose. And my main purpose today is to let others know that no matter what addiction you have, because I'm in three fellowships, so I'm a triple winner, and I do call myself a triple winner. No matter what's going on with you, there is nothing too big for higher power to help you. And I do not have to suffer from a hopeless state of mind and body ever, one day at a time. So my name is Stephanie. I'm recovered but not cured, compulsive eater. I'm grateful to be here, and I don't eat over anything anymore. Thanks for letting me share.